It's a debate that has lasted since the time of the Protestant Reformation, which was 1517, by the way. What are we talking about today? We are talking about the issue of sola scriptura here on the Bible and the Geek podcast. Welcome. My name is Wendy, and I am your chief Bible geek and geek for all other things. Before we get into the content today, I want to encourage you to become a founding member of our new private community, which is not on Facebook. You can go to BibleGeekCommunity.com to find out more and to join as a founding member. Now, let's get into the content. Sola scriptura. So why are we talking about that today? We are actually talking about it because I was forwarded some images that I think were from either Instagram or TikTok about how Catholics could defend against sola scriptura. And I thought that was a very interesting set of graphics, so it warranted a video because some of you, again, might be wondering not only what is sola scriptura, but why does it need to be refuted or debunked or defended? So we'll talk about that. First, what does sola scriptura mean? Well, it is Latin for by scripture alone. And if you see me looking down because you're watching this on YouTube, I've got my trusty notes sitting right here. It is a doctrine held by many Protestants, particularly Lutherans and those who follow the Reformed tradition. And it means that the Bible is the sole infallible source of authority for Christian faith and practice. That was so important, I had to read it straight from my notes. Let me read it again. It means the Bible is the sole infallible source of authority for Christian faith and practice. Now, this is also one of the five solas that was used to correct the excesses of the Roman Catholic Church that Martin Luther came up with for the Protestant Reformation. So those five solas are, number one, sola scriptura, scripture alone. Number two, sola fide, faith alone. Number three, sola gratia, grace alone. Number four, solo Christo, Christ alone. And number five, soli Deo gloria, to the glory of God alone. Now, you may have been familiar with some of these phrases from your various traditions, whether you are Protestant or Catholic. Some of you may never have heard these before, but they are called the five solas. Again, they are meant to be corrective to the excesses that were observed and contended during the Protestant Reformation. So let's go back to sola scriptura, because we can talk about the other four in another video. But sola scriptura emphasizes the Bible as the standalone authority for Christians. And so what this does is that it rejects the authority of the Roman Catholic Pope, and it rejects confidence in sacred traditions. Now, I got that phraseology from gotquestions.org, and I will put the link to that article in the video description. If you're listening to the audio of this, check out the show notes or head on over to YouTube. So, papal authority. Now, I used to be Catholic. This is a big thing. And not only did I used to be Catholic, but I was going to be, enter religious life as a religious sister, which is not the same as a nun. But again, different video for a different time. And I also taught religious education to children. So having gone through the adult version of catechism, I'm very familiar with Catholic teachings and dogma, and I still keep up with Catholic news. So anyway, I say all that to say, for Catholics, the papal authority of Rome is huge and absolute. In fact, there are times throughout history when the Pope has considered to speak infallibly on a subject. That means without error. Okay. Now, if you understand that infallible means without error, and you understand that human beings are capable of error, and we do it very often, then you would wonder, How can a man, how can a person speak infallibly about anything? How is that possible, let alone speak infallibly about scripture? Well, this comes from the Catholic idea. Now, if you're Catholic and you're in the comments or you're listening to the audio, hop on over to YouTube. If I get something wrong, please let me know and I will correct it in a future video. But from my understanding, from what I taught when I taught catechism, was that this infallibility comes from the divine appointment of the Pope. So the papal succession comes from Peter. And so when Jesus said, upon this rock, I will build my church, he was talking to Peter. And so in Catholic tradition, papal succession is the succession of the line of priests through Peter. And because Peter had certain authority and he was with Jesus, therefore the popes are divinely appointed and also have authority. Does the Pope speak infallibly very often? No, he doesn't. Is the Pope elected by other men? Yes, absolutely, by the College of Cardinals, which is another video for another time. You're probably going to get tired of me saying that. But what I want you to understand is that in Catholic tradition, Roman Catholic tradition specifically, when the Pope issues something from Rome, when he speaks, it is now essentially considered doctrine. So how the Pope looks at an issue or how he treats an issue is the cue for how the rest of the Roman Catholic Church is to speak on and treat that issue. And it is a very serious thing if you go against papal teaching. Like you have, it's like when you're in the military and you disobey a direct order, you better have a really good reason for disobeying that direct order. And that is how many Roman Catholics treat anything that comes from Rome, but specifically that which comes from the Pope. So it also, sola scriptura, going back to what it rejects, sola scriptura also rejects confidence in sacred traditions. So what does that mean? That simply means that just because something is tradition and you've esteemed tradition very highly, it doesn't mean that it is more important than scripture. And that is a bone of contention between Protestants and Catholics, because not that Protestants are without tradition, but so much of Catholicism is steeped in tradition, and so much of it is about tradition versus about faith, that many wonder if Catholics are indeed just trying to work their way into heaven by completing all this tradition and ritual rather than working through faith. So that's what sola scriptura emphasizes, and that's what it rejects. So what is the actual issue here with sola scriptura? Why would someone on the Catholic side want to refute sola scriptura? Well, because when Catholics and Protestants get into an argument, that's usually the first thing they argue about. Well, not the first thing. They usually argue about veneration of Mary, but it'll come up eventually, sola scriptura. And so the issue, the Catholic might make the issue about the fact that sola scriptura is not explicitly mentioned in the Bible, but hold on to your hats. We will get to that in a second. But the overall issue is when tradition supersedes or contradicts the Bible. That is the issue Protestants have with Catholicism, not with individual Catholics, okay? Not with your church building, but traditions that supersede or contradict the Bible. Example, prayers to the saints, prayers to Mary, the Immaculate Conception doctrine, transubstantiation, indulgences, and as I already covered, papal authority. So those can have their own video. If you are interested in further episodes explaining those doctrines, then let me know in the comments and I will go ahead and add those videos to the list. So like I said, Catholics will then argue that sola scriptura isn't found in scripture, and they're right. What they're basically doing is refuting 2 Timothy 3:16, and I'm going to pull that up for you. 2 Timothy 3:16. 2 Timothy 3:16 says this: all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And then verse 17 goes on to say that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So Catholics say, well, you can't possibly hang your entire doctrine off of 2 Timothy 3:16 because sola scriptura doesn't say only scripture, it says all scripture. Touche, Catholic, that is true. It does not say only scripture, it says all scripture. But did you know what else is not explicitly mentioned in the Bible, but we still believe it as Christians? In fact, it is a core tenet. The Trinity. That's right. Nowhere in the Bible will you find an explicit verse that says Father, Son, Holy Spirit, this is the Trinity. This is what as believers you believe in. But we have been able to extrapolate that through the totality of scripture and through scholarly research that indeed there is a Father, a Son, and a Holy Spirit, a triune God. Over this, Christians do not disagree. So it seems a little nitpicky that someone would say sola scriptura is not in the Bible. Well, goodness gracious, neither are computers. There's a lot of things that are not explicitly mentioned in the Bible, and we have to use the brains that God gave us to figure out how to apply what was taught then to what we are doing now. And if, like in 2 Timothy 3:16, we need to rebuke or correct or instruct in righteousness, then we will use the scriptures to do so. So if you want to read more verses in support of the idea of sola scriptura, you can see Acts 17:11, 1 Corinthians 4:6, and Mark 7:6-9. And I like the Mark passage because that's actually Jesus talking. But again, that's not even the real issue, is it? The real issue between Catholics and Protestants is works. Because what's really at stake here when you argue for or against sola scriptura is an argument against or for unbiblical, extra-biblical, and or anti-biblical doctrine. And that could be found in a Protestant church or a Catholic church. It's just more noticeable in the Catholic church because there are far more rituals and works to be done for the Catholic than there is for the typical Protestant. And when I say typical Protestant, I mean evangelical. But there are Protestant denominations that impose lots of extra biblical and unbiblical and anti-biblical standards on people, particularly women. And that's not good either. Those would also be contradictory to the Bible, and that should also be corrected and rebuked and submitted for reproof. Okay, so don't misunderstand me. This is not simply a Catholic versus Protestant issue. This is just where it manifests most commonly. So if it's done in the Protestant circle, it's usually called legalism. This could be something as, for example, women can't wear pants, or women have to keep their hair long, or again, this is usually done for the subjugation of women, but there are also legalistic rules that exist for men as well. It's just that most of them exist for women. But what's important to understand about sola scriptura, and this is what's often missed in the debate, is that it doesn't nullify church tradition. It just gives us a means and a standard by which to evaluate church tradition. So if your church has a tradition that is not biblical, you need to know why they're doing it. And it's not sufficient to say, well, where is that in the Bible? Because there's a lot of things that exist in 2024 or whenever you're watching this, that did not exist in 33 AD. Okay? But asking where is that in the Bible isn't always the right question. The right question sometimes is that true about what we know about the nature of God? Is it consistent with God? Is it consistent with Scripture? Not can you give me chapter and verse, but is it consistent? Because the Bible is one big story of redemption. The Old Testament, the New Testament, they all work together. They all point us back to Jesus. And so this is not about who can do better works and who can argue better. And, oh my gosh, I'm a Catholic. Now I have to argue against sola scriptura. Or, oh, I'm a Protestant. That means I have to argue for sola scriptura. No, I believe in sola scriptura because it presents a standard for us to evaluate tradition and any other thing that someone says we must do in order to be a Christian or in order to be saved. Okay. And that is also why I like the five solas, as I mentioned in the beginning of the episode. As I said, I used to be Catholic. I used to be a lot of things. There was a time I also experimented with Islam and then went back to the Catholic Church and now squarely in the Protestant camp. So my experience is varied to the extent that I'm in seminary right now. So I'm not coming from a emotional, uninformed point of view. I'm doing the research for you guys so that you can understand what could potentially be a complex issue. But in its most simple terms, sola scriptura is meant to keep us from doing extra unbiblical or anti-biblical things that impede our ability to have a relationship with God. So if I, for example, if I went to a church where it was tradition that you only read the Bible from the New International Version. Okay. Like, but then they said, if you read any other translation, you were going to go to hell. Well, that's not biblical. Okay. You wouldn't be able to find that in the Bible about a specific translation. You wouldn't be able to find anywhere that says that one translation guarantees salvation, because that's not true. That's a silly example, but it is an example. Another example would be if you miss, this is on the Catholic side, if you miss Mass or a holy day of obligation, then you have to go and confess before you are allowed to take communion again. Well, there are a number of questions now. A, why do I have to confess to a priest? Can I just talk straight to God? And B, why is Sunday a holy day of obligation? Maybe I had to work. Maybe there were other things going on and I had to miss church. Is my attendance at church, does that determine whether or not I'm saved? And so when you start imposing these traditions and restrictions on people, you make them question their salvation because you make their salvation dependent on their ability or inability to do something. And that's not fair. That is not what salvation is about in Christ alone. And as we come upon Easter, I want you to remember and understand that Christ's sacrifice for us was not so that we could be a slave to sin and the law anymore. It was to free us from the law, not because the law was wrong, but because the law was not sufficient to justify us. If it was, there would be no need for Jesus. And again, that's another video for another time, but suffice to say, it is the death and resurrection, the sacrifice and love of Jesus that allows us to even have this discussion today, to even say lovingly to my brother or sister in Christ, I love you, but I disagree. So, one other thing is that some argue sola scriptura can't be true because of a lack of availability of scripture throughout history. They argue that because widespread copies weren't available, how could you possibly live by scripture you didn't have? I think that's a weak argument, but suffice to say that doesn't A, take into account oral tradition, and B, The lack of availability of scripture suggests that the church, the Catholic Church, should have made its availability a priority, but it didn't. This would have helped in better teaching and understanding, but instead it criminalized the translation and the spread of the scripture. If it was in a language other than Latin, that was criminalized. If it was given to regular people, that was criminalized. So you have to wonder why. Just why? So I will leave the point at that. Otherwise, I will go on forever. But here's what I want you to do. Here, whether you're Catholic or Protestant, whether you believe in Sola Scriptura, never heard of it before today, whatever, you clicked on this video because you were curious. By the way, thank you for doing that. Here's what I want you to do. Number one, examine all traditions in light of Scripture. You need to look for consistency. If it contradicts Scripture, ask, why are you doing it? And if you are doing something that contradicts Scripture, regardless of why you're doing it, pray. Talk to God about that. Talk to someone who can mentor you, who can help you see that sometimes what we want to do is not aligned with what God wants us to do. And so we need to correct ourselves. And sometimes it's only through the work of the Holy Spirit that we are corrected. So that's the first thing. Second thing is, learn for yourself what the Bible actually says. Don't just take my word for it. Don't just take your pastor's word for it. Get that Bible and open it up yourself. You want to look at commentaries. You want to be in Bible study groups. And you want to get plugged into your local church. And hey, if your current church is not biblically based, find another church. There are plenty of people who will give you a suggestion on a new church. Find church online until you can find another local church to get plugged into, but get plugged into your local church. And then the third thing is, understand the Bible in context. One of my favorite specialty Bibles is called the Cultural Context, the Cultural Background Study Bible, sorry. I have it in the New King James Version. You can find it on Amazon. I'm sure I have it linked in the description somewhere of this video. But it is very useful, along with commentaries and Bible dictionaries and all kinds of other things, for understanding the context with which Scripture was written. Because not everything is for everybody. And what you want to understand is what Scripture teaches you about God. Not a me-centered theology. So those are the three steps that I want from you, or rather that I encourage you to do in light of the Sola Scriptura debate, regardless of whether you are for it, against it, neutral, what have you. So stay tuned for the next video. Click or tap the screen where you will find out what the best translation is for the Bible. And again, this is the Bible and the Geek podcast. My name is Wendy Koob. It's been a pleasure. If you're watching this on YouTube, make sure you subscribe if you haven't already and ring that bell so that you know when there is always a new video. Until next time, my friends, God bless and take care.